We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The following is a presentation of Learfield IMG College.
This is Duck Insider.
Give it to Verdell. He's got the first down and goal. Duck fans start celebrating.
Oregon is the 2019 Pac-12 champion.
The 2020 Rose Bowl champion.
Richardson, another open three. Good.
Duarte dribbles
and slams with the right hand.
For the third time in the last 5 years, the Ducks are
champions and now Pac-12 tournament champions.
Welcome to Duck Insider.
We're just getting started.
This is Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Better banking, local solutions. Live from the Country Financial Studio, here's Joey Mack.
It's an ever fast moving news cycle here in the 2020 world. Thanks for joining us. It is officially 1:01 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on December 10th, 2020. And as of right now, there is still a football game on the schedule. Oregon and Washington, 1 o'clock on Fox, 11 a.m. pregame show on Saturday. Look, I see all the same stuff you guys do, and here's where we are. The Ducks are controlling what they can control. Ducks are still full bore ahead toward a matchup with Washington. What else can you do? Ducks getting ready for that matchup. Now, Washington football, this is important, still on pause. As they announced today, quote, the University of Washington football program will continue its pause of all football-related activities and will not practice Thursday due to an increase in positive COVID-19 tests within the program. More information, including the status of Saturday's game at Oregon, will be shared when it becomes available. Thursday's previously scheduled post-practice press availability has been canceled. That coming from the University of Washington officially. So the Ducks, again, controlling what they can control. It is all over the place. Yeah, that's 2020. It's 2020. When we've got info, we'll give you some info. In the meantime, we do have actually a really awesome show for you today. Like, this was an interview that we did with Jody Sykes actually a little while ago, Chief Compliance Officer for the Ducks. She's going to join us. Oregon men's basketball with a really nice win last night. Apart from a period where they had about 4 or 5 turnovers, gave up a 12-0 run. So that Florida A&M never really completely went away, but Ducks, it was a nice game for the Ducks, particularly for Infali Dante with 22 points last night. Going to talk about that, some of the thoughts from Coach Altman, that's all still to come, and Kayvon Thibodeau and Verone McKinley. And if you missed the Oregon Football Coaches Show last night and our conversation with Verone McKinley, awesome stuff. Encourage you to check it out on the Oregon Sports Network podcast, where you get your podcasts. Or you can also, of course, check it out on the, Oregon Football Facebook page, Oregon Football Twitter, and the Go Ducks YouTube page. Yeah, we've got a lot of cool stuff coming today. So, look, as it stands right now, Ducks preparing for Washington. That's all they can do. 1 o'clock coming up on Saturday. And Oregon men's basketball starts Pac-12 play also in Seattle at 5 o'clock on Saturday as well. Those of you who will be tuning in to that game, our internet radio feeds will not be affected. But with football on Saturday afternoon, those of you tuning in Portland, the men's basketball broadcast will be on 9:10 a.m. And the Eugene community will hear the men's basketball broadcast on 98.1 FM and 1320 AM. Jovan Catron tuning in today. Jovan! What's up, dude? Jovan, if you have any thoughts on the game last night, Jovan, put them in that Facebook comment section for me, will you? Everybody, I also want you all to know, if you didn't know this, Eugene Omorui, I've said, you know, he was destined to end up at Oregon because his name is Eugene. Well, Jovan Catron, we had him on the show about 2 months ago, and Jovan's middle name is Eugene, so it was just meant to be, right? It was just completely meant to be. Jack asking a question that, yes, I knew we would get this question. Is the mask necessary, looking like you're keeping a safe distance? Per new guidelines from the Oregon Health Authority and the University of Oregon, anybody who is being filmed on camera, if somebody else is in the same room, the new guidelines are that everyone will wear a mask, including the person who is on camera. That's why you saw Coach Cristobal wearing the mask during his press availability on Wednesday. We're doing our part, doing everything that we can. So I'll be honest, calling men's basketball games with it on, certainly different. Doing the show with it on, certainly different. So I've decided that I'm going to have to make a lot of really odd eye motions at everybody, because I got to work on my expressions with my eyes rather than with my mouth. And I also have decided that I can't wear glasses anymore, because now I can't see. So if I don't see something that happens on the show or in the studio, that's what Scott Phillips is here for. So in all seriousness, though, yeah, we are doing our part with the new OHA guidelines and the University of Oregon guidelines. Athletic Director Thursday is always brought to you by Pepsi. Jody Sykes joined us via the University of Oregon Alumni Association guest line, and she actually is helping with a convention today, which is why we didn't do this interview live. But it was super interesting talking with Jody Sykes about the transfer waiver process and particularly LJ Figueroa's case. Many of you heard Coach Altman's passionate discussion post-game about a week and a half ago about how LJ Figueroa was heartbroken that he couldn't play in the Ducks season opener. And the NCAA took a while to process this and to process getting LJ Figueroa immediately eligible. Well, now he is immediately eligible, has made a huge impact for the Ducks. It was really interesting, and I know we're kind of getting in, for many of you are like, I just want to hear X's and O's. You know, I totally get that. But I also know that a lot of you are curious just what goes on behind the scenes and in the walls of the Casanova Center, and that's what this show is all about. Jody Sykes, it was fascinating to talk with her about the transfer eligibility process and also with so many different changes to eligibility requirements for this year. How are coaches managing that, and how does the compliance office handle that? Super interesting conversation. Kelly says that you need some cat crap anti-fog for your glasses. I don't know what that is, Kelly. I'm not smart enough to be able to figure that out, and I have to put my glasses on to read this. I'm an old man now. I can't do it. I just can't. Meanwhile, Jody Sykes. So for those of you, though, who are tuning in, we did record this interview before the new OHA guidelines and University of Oregon guidelines went into effect for face coverings for those of us who are on camera and when there's others in a room. And since I'm stuck with Scott Phillips all day, here we are. Our conversation for Athletic Director Thursday brought to you by Pepsi and locally owned Bigfoot Beverages. Jody Sykes going into a deep dive on LJ Figueroa's situation and the transfer waiver process and how you go about handling all that. Jody Sykes. Talking a little bit of compliance, one of my favorite conversations, to be honest, and I always joke that nobody wants to receive an email from the chief compliance officer at a university because that might mean that you did something wrong. But Jody is also in charge of, can I call it the party planning committee?
Sure, we do that as well as all of our other trainings. Yeah, let's go with it.
Yeah, I like party planning committee, like from The Office. I hope you knew the reference from The Office, Jody, did you?
Yes, I did, yes.
Good. So we're off to a good start. Jody Sykes, Chief Compliance Officer, is our guest. So it's either, you know, you get, like, invited to the virtual holiday party or you get, like, an uh-oh email from compliance. Is that what's the in-between of the spectrum there?
I would like to think the education is the in-between of the spectrum, right? Because we're teaching you about rules and we're trying to help you learn and we're answering your questions. So, you know, we got that monitoring and enforcement piece. And we got the fun party on the other end, and everything else in the middle is education and resource.
And I have to say, for those of you who are watching the show, just a tremendous backdrop choice by Jody Sykes. I mean, it looks like the Duck is about to tackle you, which is very on brand for the Duck. Who, by the way, will try again this weekend to get into Autzen Stadium and his regular shenanigans. You can find that on the Oregon Duck social media page this weekend. So since we last talked, Jody, there's obviously been a lot going on. I want to start because a lot of fans have wondered about LJ Figueroa. So can I ask you just a general question first? We know that it took maybe a little longer than LJ and everybody would have liked because he'd missed the first game for the Ducks, but he was able to play in the second game with the NCAA clearing him. Walk us through what that process was like, and also the follow-up, I guess, is generally how do these processes go? Because it seems like everything's a little bit different for every individual case.
For sure, and that's something that it's hard for everybody to understand, your last point there, in that you see so-and-so's eligible and so-and-so's eligible, and I think there's even a media member who's tracking the basketball transfer. And women, and then notes when they're eligible and when they're not. And so when you see those, it's really hard for the general average person or even a coach, you know, to say, well, you know, so-and-so transferred and they're eligible, and so-and-so at this school is transferred and they're eligible. And, you know, COVID has thrown a monkey wrench into this whole process, because normally we have this directive that we work off of. It's called the 4-4 transfer directive. You find a piece within that you're going to try to make an argument about a transfer eligibility situation, and you go for it. When COVID came out and there were a few waivers that were granted that cited COVID, everybody thought, okay, well, we'll just cite COVID and we'll be good. But that's not how it works. And so I've got to give a lot of credit and a shout out right now to Bill Clever. Taylor Mikesell does not step on the floor for women's basketball, and LJ Figueroa does not step on the floor for men's basketball without Bill Clever. He is the waiver writing guru. And when it comes to LJ, he has been working on LJ's waiver since probably mid-June. And trying to gather documents and trying to get arguments and statements and everything. And I think finally the totality of everything that we had submitted and the case that we made and the arguments that Bill put together won the day, right? And even though he missed that game against Missouri, he is eligible and he is with us for the rest of the season. And that was a huge win for us, because that waiver was an uphill battle for a variety of reasons. So we're just really grateful and glad that one went through.
You guys kind of sound like lawyers in some capacity. Like, you build a case, you build an argument, and then you present it to the jury. I mean, is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the things that we write have some of that lawyer background. I mean, Bill and Tyler both have law degrees within the compliance office. Leanne and I consider ourselves to have honorary law degrees. We both have master's degrees, but we work in this field. So I think Leanne, even in her office, has a law and order degree that Bill made for her because she watched so much law and order television, right? So you can go by her office at some point when we're allowed and you can see the law and order degree. But, you know, the analytical thinking, the case making, the storytelling, even to an extent, right? Because we're basically saying to these students, tell us your reasoning, tell us your story, tell us your thought process in making these decisions, and why it is that you want to transfer, and why it is that you think you're eligible right away or should be eligible right away. You know, and so that's part of that storytelling. Now, all of this could go away because in January we have legislative proposals that are looking to change this entire thing for the sports who currently aren't able to transfer and be immediately eligible. We're going to see where that goes. It's got a lot of different pieces and parts to it. It'll be interesting to see what the Division I Council does with those. But in the interim, we still have this waiver process that Bill has worked really hard through, and that we, like I said, we need to get Taylor Mike Sell eligible and LJ Figueroa eligible this year by making an argument that won the day.
I feel like I needed a dun-dun sound effect right there. You know,
right?
We missed an opportunity. In radio world, that'd be called a drop. We missed an opportunity there. Jody Sykes, Chief Compliance Officer, joining us. So, hey, to follow up I want to talk to you a little bit about what could happen in January in a moment, but I was curious about something that Coach Altman actually said when he spoke to the media kind of about LJ's situation. He mentioned, like, St. John's has been great and they haven't blocked it, like they've allowed it. I hear that a lot, Jody, where, like, some schools will contest waivers, some don't. Every case a little bit different. What exactly does that mean? Like, if they're blocking it or they're allowing it or whatever happens in the compliance eligibility waiver world?
Yeah, sure. So anytime that you're applying for a transfer waiver like this, where the student's coming from another school, the school that they're coming from has the opportunity to make a statement. And sometimes those are statements of support. Sometimes those are statements of neutrality. And sometimes those are statements against that student's transfer and immediate eligibility. The student can go to that new school and receive aid no matter what. Waivers are just for competition, to be able to compete in that first year at that second school, or in LJ's case, the third school. You know, so they're the school that they most recently came from, you know, usually in my experience works with us or we work with that school. You know, it's very rare that you have a school that objects to a student being immediately eligible, but there have been some situations, you know, that are probably really personal and things that we shouldn't cover in detail, you know, but there have been situations where institutions have objected to that student being immediately eligible. But in most cases, they go and support us, write a letter, sign a form to help us, you know, succeed. And I think that's part of where this transfer legislation proposals and this change is coming from, is that the NCAA membership as a whole is supporting these waivers. So why not just change the legislation and eliminate some of the work, not only for the NCAA staff, but also for compliance people on campus?
Makes sense. Chief Compliance Officer Jody Sykes, our guest. To zero in then on what could happen in January, could you go into a little bit more detail on that and what potentially could be happening with transfer eligibility? Because I know that's one of the big topics, I think, that fans in the compliance realm at least are like, ooh, what could happen? Transferring.
Transfer, right? Yeah. You know, so there's a lot of concern. There's pros and cons to it. So there's a transfer waiver working group that has taken at least the last year or so and kind of done a lot of analysis and looked at the transfer waivers that have been submitted in the sports that do not have a one-time transfer exception. So just for the fans out there, that's baseball, men's and women's basketball, football, and men's ice hockey. Those five sports do not have the ability to transfer from one school to another and use what we call the one-time transfer exception to be eligible immediately. All the other sports have that opportunity at some point in their career. They can transfer one time, and as long as they leave their first institution in good standing, they're academically eligible, you know, everything else is good there, then they transfer and can be immediately eligible to represent that school. Mid-year transfers are different. This is just for your normal, regular, average 4-4 transfer. So what this working group did was they looked at all of this data and all of the waivers and all of the different feedback that they've gotten from student athletes and working groups and different things, and said, okay, so what needs to change about this, or where do we need to look at this? Maybe look at a little closer. And the proposals are kind of mixed in that the coaches are worried about tampering. They're worried about, okay, well, now if this transfer option, immediate eligibility, let's take football, is available, Our coach is going to go raid another school. You know, rather than recruiting high school and junior college students, are they going to go recruit a 4-4 transfer to fill a need from another school? Hmm. What's supposed to happen is that those students shouldn't be able to speak to coaches unless they're in the transfer portal.
Right.
The transfer portal was created for, that's what it's out there for. But we all know that there are some not so scrupulous folks out there who maybe go backdoor or use a third party and try to make that happen. So that's one of the big concerns that they're still trying to address. But ultimately, if these proposals pass, a student could put themselves in the transfer portal, transfer, and be eligible immediately, even in those five sports, at their second institution.
Yeah, boy, there's a lot to unpack there, isn't there? Especially for coaches and the student-athletes and just everybody. I'm curious to hear the arguments from all sides in the courtroom, Jody.
And I think that it's been an interesting conversation already with compliance people and coaches and others. So I will be interested to hear. This conversation takes place mid-January within the Division I Council and the Division I Convention discussions. So I will definitely be interested to hear coaches' feedbacks and student-athlete feedback between now and then and what that looks like and some of their other concerns. One of the biggest concerns we've heard from coaches is the tampering piece. There's, of course, concerns with the reason that this rule was put into place for baseball back in the day was because their academic performance rate was really awful. They were not retaining and graduating students. That has changed for baseball, so that argument isn't as much in the mix right now. But, you know, you wonder if those APR rates are going to go down because students are transferring to schools, you know, instead of sticking it out and fighting through. And, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. But on the other side of that, all the other sports, everybody except those five, have had this one-time transfer exception for as long as I can remember, and it works for the most part for them.
Right. So
there could be some bumps. There could be some, you know, some bubbles in the road. And then I think hopefully everything is going to kind of even out and maybe make it a little more manageable for everybody.
Our conversation with Jody Sykes, Chief Compliance Officer here at Oregon. Interesting stuff on Athletic Director Thursday, brought to you by Pepsi, locally owned Bigfoot Beverages. Up next, we're going to talk with her about some of the challenges about these eligibility waivers. And because roster sizes are different, how do coaches manage that? Also, a check-in on the women's golf team, as she is the sports administrator for the Oregon women's golf team as well. As we sit here at now 1:19 p.m. on December 10th, 2020, 1 o'clock kickoff scheduled, Oregon and Washington coming up. Control what you can control, huh? All right. More with Jody Sykes after this on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, OnPoint proudly supports University of Oregon athletics because student athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon. So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. OnPoint Community Credit Union. Join in. OnPointCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
As my family continued to grow, I realized I'd have to replace my beloved Jeep with something that has, well, more seats. I'm Jason Hines, Country Financial Rep and father of seven. Whether you're upgrading from your sporty ride with no room for a car seat or finally replacing your well-loved beater that still has a cassette player, you'll want the right protection for your new car. Work with a Country Financial Rep like me and get the protection you need at a price you can afford. Learn more at TakeSimpleSteps.com or contact a local country representative.
Don't go anywhere. Duck Insider continues after these messages on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. Learfield IMG College.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind. Life is worth more than a text. Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Everybody buckle up.
Mom, 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 mom.
Buckle up.
Let's go.
Buckle up.
Can we go to the store?
Mom,
buckle
can we get
up.
Some ice cream?
Okay.
Everybody.
Buckle up.
A lot goes on in the car, but you're in control. So only move when you hear the click that says they're buckled in. Never give up until they buckle up. Learn more at safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Duck Insider, presented by OnPoint Community Credit Union. Joey Mack here with you inside the Country Financial Studio. A couple things that I wanted to get to, some funny comments. John says, what's next, CSI and the AD suite? God, I hope not. You know, Law and Order, sure, but CSI, well, just the courtroom side of Law and Order. But CSI, no. I don't want that. Could you imagine a murder mystery, though, like in the Casanova Center? Like Colonel Mustard in the training room with the exercise. I don't know. Something.
It'd have to be one of those murder mystery dinner things.
Yes.
A duck themed, you know.
Yeah. I think we're on to
right?
something.
There
this is next Halloween. Next Halloween, I think we're on to something. And also, Kelly says, I'm hoping that the Duck is getting his push-ups in after touchdowns this year, even when he isn't on TV. No doubt, he is. In fact, facebook.com/University of Oregon Duck, you can watch what he's doing during games. It's actually pretty hilarious. Athletic Director Thursday brought to you by Pepsi, locally owned Bigfoot Beverages. Go Ducks, drink Pepsi. We continue our conversation with Chief Compliance Officer Jody Sykes. Some of the challenges that 2020 has presented to roster size, eligibility. How do you manage that now moving forward? And keeping track of all of it from a compliance standpoint, Jody Sykes. Chief Compliance Officer Jody Sykes with us. What else is on the docket now moving forward, Jody? And has the pandemic derailed a lot of legislation that was upcoming?
Yeah, that's a great question and very timely, because we actually are looking at the proposals that are in the cycle to be voted on in January right now during this month. And normally this time of year, we're looking at anywhere from 75 to 125 proposals. That's pretty standard for a yearly cycle of proposals. Not only did we not vote in April on all of the proposals that were in last year's cycle, I shouldn't say all. The majority of the proposals that were in last year's cycle, there are very few proposals in this year's cycle as well. The main ones are these transfer proposals and the NIL name, image, and likeness proposals. Beyond that, there really isn't a lot that's going to be discussed this year in terms of proposals. The COVID situation and lack of meetings, and even though they're on Zoom and things, has basically we've just put everything on hold from a legislative proposal perspective, except the things that have gotten, you know, need to be handled immediately or are considered emergency, non-controversial, and those are few and far between. So much, much less this January than in a normal cycle.
You probably had more emergency, non-controversial proposals this year than in the history of the NCAA, right?
And to be honest, we're handling those with more like interpretations rather than proposals. There's a 80-something page COVID Q&A document addressing kind of the one-off situations that are happening. For example, we've got a dead period, right? We're in a dead period right now. The NCAA has extended that dead period all the way through April 15th of this coming year, 2021. And, you know, so then there have been some modifications within that as to who can make telephone calls to recruits and what does virtual recruiting look like. And there's discussion happening now about virtual camps.
Right.
What can happen there and what can't happen there. And so rather than put those through as proposals and actual changes to the legislation, we're putting those in as part of this COVID Q&A document so that we know that they're temporary. These are temporary changes that are made to accommodate an unusual time with this COVID dead period.
Name, image, and likeness is obviously something that gets a lot of headlines. Where do things sit on that front? And I know it's an ever-evolving conversation, isn't it?
It is. It's constantly changing. I think there was a headline yesterday. I think I saw something about California possibly moving up the effective date of their state bill. And so that, you know, of course, changes conversation and changes the mix as well. From an NCAA bylaw perspective, the current name, image, and likeness proposals will be looked at and voted on in this same January meeting that we were talking about with the council, where the transfer proposals will be addressed. So from an NCAA perspective, that we should have something to work with coming out of that meeting that will probably be effective this summer. You know, the way that these proposals work, even on the transfer proposals, is you pass them, give everybody a chance to digest them, figure out what they're going to do, what the actual application looks like, and then they go into effect in July or August of 21. The other piece to this, though, is the state bills. And there are, I believe it's up to 32 maybe states that have some version of a bill that's been proposed. We've also been working pre-COVID with the federal government to get some sort of federally covered national decision, national bill, so that everybody in every state is on the same page. I'm not sure what's going to happen with that. Obviously, we have a change in administration. We have some senators who are pushing the bill who are no longer in office or will no longer be in office. But we have other senators picking up that fight. And certainly we have some other pressing things, obviously, with COVID stimulus relief and other things that, take precedent over decisions like this when it comes to government decisions, right? So I'm not sure where that piece of it is going to come out. I know a lot of schools are working on it, including the Ducks, including Oregon, working on education, working on how do we help prepare our student athletes for what's to come. And a lot of that will happen in these coming winter and spring terms, because we're going to have some legislation, at least from the NCAA side, to work with. We're gonna be able to narrow down the focus of what we need to educate our student athletes about, and how we need to proceed going forward.
Jody Sykes, Chief Compliance Officer, our guest. A lot of information. This is great, Jody. Thanks for always coming on and taking some time to update us. Last time we spoke about how roster limits and having everybody sort of have a quote-unquote free year of eligibility this year has changed things. Do you have any updates, I guess, on just where we sit with that and how you guys are processing all of that? Because it's certainly going to have implications for years to come with this quote-unquote free year.
For sure. I have conversations with coaches regularly about kinds of things that they're going to need to be thinking about. And, there are some exemptions. So any of the seniors who either last spring or this fall would have exhausted their eligibility, that aid that they received is exempt. So, you could have, I think, let's use softball for an example. They had two seniors that returned. So those two seniors and the money that they were receiving is exempt from the softball scholarship limits for this year, for the 2021 academic year. And then you've got potentially two more extra bodies on your roster that the coaches have to manage from practice time and playing time. And just attention, right? Because you've still only got a limited number of coaches to go around, and you've still got a limited number of spots on the field. You can only play nine people, one time on a softball field, right? And so they're having to kind of adjust their mindset, figure out, what do they do if they can't travel everybody? What do they do with those folks that they've left at home if they never have had to do that before? Some of our sports leave folks home all the time. Others of our sports have never had to do that.
Yeah.
They take everybody with them. So these are the kinds of conversations that we have on a regular basis. Those are going to continue not only for this next year, because now football, volleyball, women's soccer, basically all of our fall sports, as well as the winter sports, men's and women's basketball, have also received this exemption to where this season essentially does not count. And their aid next year will not count. So they're going to have seniors who will return, who won't count in the limits, who won't count in the rosters that they're thinking of, that they're working with right now under a normal rotation. And then even beyond this year, students are going to have 5 years of eligibility instead of four, sort of, because the COVID year doesn't count, right? So they're going to get to play, and it's not going to count as a season of competition. So they still have four seasons beyond that. And so they're going to have to decide, do these students stick around for all 5 years? Do we help them get their degree and maybe they transfer as a graduate student for that fifth year? Maybe they're burnt out and they're just done after 4 years and they don't play in the fifth year. And then what that does to the recruiting classes. I know these are long-winded answers, but these are complex questions that our coaches have been asking now for 6-8 months. And we have some guidance, but it's all kind of trial by error because we've never had to do this before.
Yeah. Well, and that's actually what I was just about to ask you is I feel like we won't really know the implications and the impact of this until maybe, what, Jody, 4 or 5 years from now, right?
Yes, because if you're looking at it, these four classes that we have right now, last year's seniors, and then the next three classes of graduates, all have five seasons instead of four, basically. And that's just a different management schedule. Or in football, it's possible they could get six instead. Right. Instead of five, right? And even in some other sports, depending on how it plays out. But this is something that the coaches will have to manage. This is something that we budgetarily will have to manage for the next, 4 to 5 years. And recruiting classes will be affected by it because a coach may choose to keep at fifth year senior and not recruit a new freshman in that spot a couple years from now. When the financial aid exemptions no longer allow them to continue to have both.
Whew.
Right?
I'm glad I sit in this chair. And to all of the coaches, not just at Oregon, but across the country, good luck. And Jody Sykes, Chief Compliance Officer, thanks for taking some time to chat with us. I do want to ask you a little bit about women's golf. In addition to being the Chief Compliance Officer, Jody is, of course, the sports administrator for women's golf, very close and near and dear to her heart as a former golf student-athlete herself. I have to ask you first about Monica Vaughn, our assistant coach, who shot a 58 at Eugene Country Club, which is still just unbelievable that Monica was able to do that. But a former NCAA champion, I think we all know that Coach Vaughn is pretty darn talented. I mean, Jody, when you saw that, just as a golf fan, were you just like, oh, what?
Yes. So my first reaction was pure shock and awe. But this. So we're out playing at Eugene Country Club that day as part of the NAS tournament. That's the tournament that Mo was playing in when she shot this fabulous, highly unheard of, amazing score. I had played with Amy Matsuoka earlier that day. I was probably 6, 7, 8 groups in front of Mo. She was one of the last groups out. And Amy shot 62.
Dang.
I was so impressed with Amy's 62. I watched it because I played with Amy for 18 holes and watched her shoot the 62 and how impressive it was. And then, like, an hour later, Mo comes through with a 58. I'm like, are you kidding me? Oh, like, regardless of where and how and when, anytime you break 60 is just, I mean, it's so hard to do professionally, amateur-wise. It doesn't matter. But folks have the skills, and Monica that day was on fire.
The best part, I've asked Coach Vaughn about this since, and she was like, yeah, I was more nervous for this than I was for like anything else I've ever done. You know, it's pretty cool to see. And meanwhile, women's golf, Jody, just a couple thoughts and updates on where that team is now they're gearing up for a spring season, which we're all excited about.
Yeah, that's the hope, right? Everybody, fingers crossed, wear your masks, wash your hands, and, you know, be smart so that we can have some spring sports. Nice. I like it. Very good. Yeah, so we're hoping for, you know, a solid spring season, a full spring season coming up. We have all of our student athletes coming back on the women's golf team in early January to be here and to be ready for when those opportunities do come about. And once we find out what the schedule is going to look like and what that's going to be, they have been keeping themselves very busy. Especially our international students have been able to compete in some very high level international tournaments this fall, both on the Taiwan LPGA and on some other international groupings. We've had some of our California folks compete in some local tournaments and some other bigger tournaments. So they've been keeping their skills up on their own, even though most of them chose to stay home for this fall term. And they're just, you know, they're working through Zoom and through video chat and through film review footage to get the feedback they need and to continue to make progress. And I know that they've been doing a lot of mental aspect work, and, you know, in golf, mentality and how you approach the mental part of the game is such a huge piece that I think is really going to be a side effect benefit of having not been able to be here in person and do some of those physical practices. So I'm excited for them to be back. I'm excited to see them either virtually or from a distance, and you know, just kind of have them around again. But I know Coach Derek and Coach Monica are very excited to get their team back together.
Jody Sykes, Chief Compliance Officer, our guest. Jody, I could talk to you for hours. Thanks for always taking the time to join us. And it just occurred to me that with your backdrop, the Duck is about to tackle you, but also we need to get a new picture of the Duck the next time that fans are in Autzen, because it's the old, there's no new scoreboard behind you, Jody.
That is true. This is such an old picture. I mean, you can tell kind of by the uniforms and the very various things, but we
and the plaid shorts.
Yes, the plaid shorts. We got to get a new one so that I have a better duck attacking backdrop here.
That's right. Jody Sykes, Chief Compliance Officer. Thanks for what you do, and thanks for always taking some time to chat with us. And hopefully, we'll see you in person in the next however long.
Thanks for having me, Joey. Always a pleasure.
Good stuff with Jody Sykes, the Oregon Chief Compliance Officer. A lot of information, and I always love catching up with her, getting into a little bit of the detail on what goes on inside these walls. Jack asked lots of duck questions today, I guess. How's the Oregon student selected to be the mascot, and how is he supported, etc.? Who said it's a he?
The duck.
It's just the duck. It's just the duck. It's just the duck. I don't know what else to tell you. That wraps up our conversation with Jody Sykes. She joined us via the University of Oregon Alumni Association guest line. When we come back, Verone McKinley talking Ducks and Huskies on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
After 2 years of construction, my wife and I finally moved into our dream home. So when a bathtub fixture broke, causing major water damage, I was glad we had the home insurance protection we needed. How do you know your home is protected? Talk to a Country Financial rep like me, Nick Simon. We can help you understand your options and select coverages to meet your needs. Then if something happens to your home, you won't have any surprises. Need the right coverage for your home but not sure where to start? Visit TakeSimpleSteps.com or contact a local country representative.
Mountain Dew Zero Sugar presents an original that's now maybe even better. Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Mary had a bottle of Mountain Dew Zero Sugar with the same refreshing taste as the original, but with zero sugar. Same refreshing taste as the original, but with zero sugar. Same refreshing taste as the original, but with zero sugar. Mary had a bottle of Mountain Dew Zero Sugar. Let's taste was as good as the original, maybe even better.
Mountain Dew Zero Sugar. As good as the original, maybe even better.
Duck Insider, Duck Insider, Duck Insider continues after this timeout on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Most of my family, they never graduated high school, so I'm trying to break that barrier.
My daughter Brooklyn was also a motivation for me to go back to school.
Every day after work, went straight to school, and it paid off.
At age 26, Kareem finished his high school diploma.
I could not have done it alone. I see the future is really bright for me.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Duck Insider presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Joey Mack with you inside the Country Financial Studio. It is now 1:39 p.m. on the 10th of December 2020, and we still have a game on the docket. 1 o'clock kickoff, Oregon and Washington. And look, control what you can control. Huskies have been on pause with some COVID upticks in their program, and we're all hoping that that game is able to be played Saturday in Autzen Stadium. Verone McKinley talked to the media yesterday. We had him on the coach's show last night as well. Verone McKinley, though, talking to the media, it was an interesting conversation. Some of his thoughts heading into this matchup with the Dogs.
Verone, kind of a theme in these press conferences so far has been putting the season into perspective. What have you seen, you know, as far as improvements in your own game, and what are you looking to get better at?
For me, I feel like I've taken kind of a step forward just with my leadership and just being an all-around player. I've been in a lot of different positions somewhat within the past few weeks and just playing down in the box, being a high safety, playing in the slot. So just my versatility as well, and just as well as just bringing my teammates along with me and being that energy guy. I'm really passionate about the game of football, and I feel like getting my teammates to come along with me, you see just this past week, that was something that really shined. So I feel like that's something I've improved on.
From this, obviously an odd week, and it's an odd rivalry week. Do you feel the same rivalry this week as you have in past Washington weeks?
Definitely. Our focus is fully on Washington, and it's a pride thing, I would say. It's a rivalry, of course, and it's a pride thing, and there's things at stake. But at the end of the day, it's football. Every game matters, and luckily we have another opportunity to play again. So just taking everything with it.
Verone, one of the guys that we've seen get some more meaningful reps here in the past week has been Steve Stevens. What have you seen from him, and what do you think he has to do to kind of take that next step in his development?
Steve's really focused and really excited to just keep getting better. He's like a sponge. He soaks everything in, and Steve does a good job of knowing what his job is and how he needs to do it and where he needs to be. So just continue to prove his communication and just everything from ball skills, tackling, everything.
Verone, I was just wondering your analysis of the Washington passing game. You know, they have some really good players. What have you seen from them on film?
Well, I guess I'll start with the tight end. Cade, great player, really big, physical, one of the kind of good tight end in our conference. some guys out wide. Ty Jones, another big physical receiver, somebody he's been there for a little bit, so you know about him. Tyrell Bynum, another good receiver. So they have a lot of good receivers across the board, guys that can run, that are a little bit bigger and can be a little more physical at the top of the route, and some guys that got some good speed and can really take the top off. So just making sure we do our job and read our keys.
Rowan, just how have you personally handled the last 6-7 hours of hearing about Washington's pause and the uncertainty of this game and what the next 24 hours or so might be? Is to, all right, you prepare for it until it's not there, but if it's not there, that may be the end of the race for the division, and there's uncertainty as to who would even play in the championship game at that point.
I would say nothing's changed. We had a good practice today. We talked about it, and then we moved on. We had the same practice we'd have on every Wednesday, and we're preparing the same way. We'll have meetings tonight and go through the film and make sure we're staying prepared for Saturday. We plan to play, so.
Verone, I've asked a couple of your teammates this, but Coach Cristobal says that you learn more from losing than from winning. What would you say you've learned personally from these last 2 weeks?
It's not just on the coaches. It's accountability between the locker room and the players and all of us, and making sure that we stay on everybody from every practice, every walkthrough, every meeting, and just being somebody that the coach doesn't have to tell somebody what to do when you already know. You can be that guy to go and say something and speak up and come. You know, you don't have to call guys out. You can call them up. You don't have to attack anybody. Just bring them along with you and explain what was right, what was wrong, how we can fix it and move forward.
Verone McKinley, control what you can control. The Oregon sophomore safety is really the general, as he called it on our interview last night, of that Oregon secondary and the defense. Quick timeout when we come back. Switching gears, talk a little bit of hoops as the Ducks won again at Matthew Knight Arena last night. Some things to improve on, but some things to like, too. More after this on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, OnPoint proudly supports University of Oregon athletics because student athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon. So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. OnPoint Community Credit Union. Join in. OnPointCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
All it takes is one drop to make a wave. One beat to inspire a track. One spark to get creativity flowing. With every drop, LifeWater refreshes your mind and restores your body. Purified water, pH balanced with electrolytes for taste. Designed with original works of art on every bottle. Let us be your source of inspiration. LifeWater, the feel-good water.
Duck Insider, your home for the latest news on Oregon athletics. This is the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College.
When you went car shopping, you meant business. You ace vehicle history searches and test drives. You out salesman to the salesman. Now you've got your wheels. If you manage that, you can get your retirement plan on track. Visiting aceyourretirement.org can help. With 401k tips and smart savings strategies, you'll have the info you need to get more for your future. Go to aceyourretirement.org, because when it comes to speeding past financial challenges, you're an ace. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
GTG, BRB, OMW, be there in a few. You may think that these kinds of texts are fine because of their length and you can easily send them at a stoplight. But no, answering one text can take your attention away from the road for 5 seconds. And traveling at 55 miles an hour, that's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Make good decisions. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopRex.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Duck Insider, presented by OnPoint Community Credit Union. Joey Mack with you inside the Country Financial Studio. Dane Altman talked to the media last night after Oregon's 87-66 win over Florida A&M. Apart from a 12-0 run where the Ducks had a number of turnovers that they allowed, Ducks are pretty darn good. And it was a career night for Invalidante. 22 points, 10-for-10 from the floor, and only 18 minutes of action. Also had 2 steals, 5 rebounds. Got into some foul trouble, though. Ducks had said that they wanted 20 hard minutes from Invalidante, and they got that. If he could stay out of foul trouble, boy, what a night he could have had. And then Chris Duarte with 23 points leading the way for the Ducks. All in all, some things to improve on, some things to like as the Ducks continue to get better and better, especially adjusting to life without Will Richardson. Some of the comments from Dane Altman on the radio postgame show and talking with the media afterwards.
Hey, Coach, congratulations on the win. Your thoughts on Infali Dante's performance, first of all, Coach. Perfect 10 for 10 from the floor. Gotten a little bit of foul trouble, but 22 points, a career high for Infali Dante.
Yeah, no, he did some good things. You know, when he bent his knees and is athletic, you know, he's a force in there. He's been playing, you know, two straight up and down, and hasn't allowed him to be an athlete. And so we talked to him a lot about, you know, being a presence and playing harder. And I thought he did tonight, you know, and he got some shots to fall early. Guys were looking for him quite a bit, I thought, and did some pretty good things.
Apart from that 12-0 run there midway in the second half, Coach, seemed like you guys were able to keep Florida A&M at bay. What was the difference when they went on that 12-0 run?
We had five turnovers in a row. Really disappointed in that stretch. You know, Amari gets tied up trying to get a shot up against two people, and it was their jump, so there's a turnover. Eugene had a turnover. Chandler had a turnover. Jalen had two. We didn't get a shot up. And a 12-0 run, I don't think we attempted shot on goal. And that's not even effective in soccer, you know. So you got to try to score a basket. And it led to some runouts and bad stretch there.
Apart from that, Coach, though, happy with the performance tonight? Any other takeaways before I let you go?
Well, I was really pleased. I thought we tried to share the ball more. You know, I haven't been too excited about some of our shots and our ball movement, but I thought tonight the guys really moved the ball. We had 20 assists, which, you know, was better for us. I just thought the ball movement was better tonight, so I'm pleased with that. There were times when, you know, we had everybody connected defensively. We had some really good possessions, but we had a little far to go to get everybody on the same page defensively and get them to be much more aggressive.
Dana, 32 of 40 from two-point range, even when Infali goes 10 for 10, those are hard numbers to achieve. Like you talked about with ball movement, it really was effective inside. Like I say, I mean, that's a hard percentage to ever reach on air, let alone against a defense. That's pretty remarkable.
No, guys finished plays in there. They didn't have the rim protector, so we were able to get to the rim. You know, we made up for our inability to hit any threes. We didn't shoot threes well tonight. You know, I thought that made up for it.
So, Coach, this is a game, I guess, you don't shoot the three well, and Eric doesn't hit, Eugene doesn't hit, Chris Duarte has a game that kind of – so you got a lot of weapons, right? Is that kind of a nice thing to have?
Well, I think we do. You know, LJ hasn't been aggressive offensively. We need to get him more aggressive offensively. But, you know, Chris, Eric, Eugene, Dante, you know, we need Jalen and Amar to be really moving that ball and being point guards, you know, and running the show and distributing the ball. And you know, we can't have everybody scoring and everybody shooting. So we got to get those two guys moving the ball a little bit.
Yeah, Dana, do you want Chris Duarte to be more of an offensive threat? Do you want him being aggressive on the offensive end?
I want him to take the shots when they're there. Again, we don't need anybody to feel like they've got score. We want to move the ball. Again, Eric's a good scorer. Chris is a good scorer. Jay's a good scorer. Dante's a good scorer. You know, Eugene's a good scorer. Have anybody that should feel the pressure that they got to score. The ball should be moving, and we've got plenty of options, and, you know, guys should be aggressive, but they've got to be smart. If they're not taking good shots, you know, that's good for a team that has a number of guys who can score on any given night.
And it feels like Eric Williams is just really steady every night for you guys. What does he just mean to this team, and kind of, can you speak about his production his first four games?
Well, I think Eric, you know, on the boards really gives us an athlete. You know, he's a very good shooter. He's worked on his shot. You know, he's in the gym. You know, I think he can be a shutdown defender. I'm a little disappointed that he hasn't taken on that challenge and been a better defender, because his athleticism should allow for him to be a lockdown defender. The only reason he wouldn't be is if he just doesn't take that challenge. So I want him to be, take pride in the tough guy, a guy that loves to defend, loves to rebound. Everybody loves to score. Again, we got 5, 6, maybe 7 guys who are capable of getting double figures. We need a volunteer to be a defensive stopper. There are a lot of different ways to win games.
I think that Eric Williams is probably Oregon's best perimeter defender when he really puts his mind to it. Watching him in practice last year, Eric Williams made Peyton Pritchard better. He was redshirting last year and was often on Peyton in practice. I really believe that. I think that Eric Williams could be the best perimeter defender on the team, especially without Will Richardson, who has those long arms, will out probably at least another 5, 6 weeks or so after that thumb surgery. So the Ducks are looking for some production out of that backcourt, particularly defensively. So here, Coach Altman there, I think takeaways, positive. You get a 21-point win, that's good. But heading into a matchup with Washington coming up on Saturday, Ducks still have some things to improve, especially as now they'll hit the road again. A few final thoughts and notes as we head into a Friday edition of Duck Insider, getting ready for 2 games against the Dogs. Back after this on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
As my family continued to grow, I realized I'd have to replace my beloved Jeep with something that has, well, more seats. I'm Jason Hines, Country Financial Rep and father of 7. Whether you're upgrading from your sporty ride with no room for a car seat or finally replacing your well-loved beater that still has a cassette player, you'll want the right protection for your new car. Work with a Country Financial Rep like me and get the protection you need at a price you can afford. Learn more at TakeSimpleSteps.com or contact a local Country representative.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, OnPoint proudly supports University of Oregon athletics because student athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon. So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. OnPoint Community Credit Union. Join in. OnPointCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
This is Duck Insider. Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Hey, everyone. Let's all stop what we're doing and take a moment. You see? Every moment can be kind of special. But they can be loud moments, goofy moments, dorky moments. It doesn't matter. Because every time dads like us take a moment like that to spend with our kids, well, it's pretty momentous. So let's take a moment to make a moment. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hello, it's me, the designer jeans in the back of your closet. What happened to us? I used to summer in the Hamptons, and now I'm stuck behind a pair of sweats. Okay, maybe I never really fit you right, but I got a lot more Sunday fun days left in me. So take me to Goodwill, where I can really make a difference.
Your donations to Goodwill create jobs, training programs, and education assistance for people in your community. To find your nearest donation center, go to goodwill.org. Donate stuff. Create jobs. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Back at Duck Insider, presented by OnPoint Community Credit Union. Joey Mack with you inside the Country Financial Studio. We have breaking news. Disney is apparently planning 10 new Star Wars series.
Oh, man. I don't know if that's good news or bad news, Joey Mack.
Mr. Star Wars, Scott Phillips, is...
I'm afraid that the quality of the shows will drop if you start producing too much.
I want everybody to know that Scott Phillips does have a cardboard cutout at Autzen Stadium, and it's him wearing a Stormtrooper helmet. It's okay, Scott. Everything's going to work out. It's going to be fine.
Oh, I'm going to watch it.
I'm sure you are. But just, it's going to be okay.
Okay.
It's going to be okay. Thanks for joining us today, everybody. You heard from Verone McKinley, Jody Sykes, Dane Altman. As we sit at now 1:56 on the 10th of December, 2020, we still have a 1 o'clock kickoff coming up on Saturday, which means We did not get to Kayvon Thibodeau's interview today. We'll hopefully be able to do that tomorrow. And Mike Jorgensen is scheduled to join us. Jerry Allen is scheduled to join us. We'll make some Pac-12 picks brought to you by North Fork Public House. We're planning to talk with Tony Castricone, who's the voice of the Huskies. 23 hours from now. We'll see what happens. A lot can happen between now and then.
Okay, forest animals. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Long ago, you wouldn't think of galloping on a horse while doing calligraphy. And you wouldn't have attempted to ride your bike while typing a letter. Yet you think you can safely operate a multi-ton vehicle while texting? Behind the wheel is no place to multitask. If you want to BRB, drive now and text later. Lives depend on it.
Visit StopTextStopRex.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager, Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time, as in spaghetti sandwiches for dinner. They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go, Fish Dad!
Oh, come on! This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You've been listening to Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College. Presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Better banking, local solutions. The preceding has been a Learfield, IMG College presentation of the Oregon Sports Network.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on Auto Trader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.